Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong with you?
Right there, that was so good.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to the Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church, and we are your local churchmen. My name is Josh, and I'm here as always with the man who needeth no introduction, the captain, one who our patrons have been given many nicknames.
Unbelievable.
To you know, Jailbird Jack's been going around. My favorite so far by one of our patrons was Jack Capone. And I like that. I dig that.
That's hilarious.
Jack Capone.
That's hilarious. Wow.
But we are here for another week of talking about the local church, why we love it, why you should love it. And yeah, looking forward to a good discussion. Jack, how are you, my man? It's good to see you.
Yeah, doing well. I am with my son. I've been with my son. It's just me and my son. My wife took like a girls' trip, and so he is sleeping right now. So hopefully he will sleep through this episode. You might catch him on some podlucks, but yeah.
You never know. He's becoming quite the fixture over
dude,
on the
dude, he keeps
for sure.
Grabbing the mic.
He likes it.
And he likes saying, the fame. Josh. So he's associating that lately.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. He knows what horse to hitch his wagon to. He does. he gets it. Jack, my man, it's good to be here. Week's going well. I am 1 week out, so we're trying to get ahead on some episodes, because I'm 1 week out of traveling to Florida with another one of my elders. We're going to go check out a Reformed Baptist Network that's having their regional get together down there to see if it'd be a good fit for the church. Trying it out for size. I'm sure it's going to be a week of a lot of meetings and networking and connecting and questions. And I'm hoping just to have some time. Like, so the guy that I'm going with, he's not a water guy at all. Like, he's a weird Norwegian.
Wish Baker Mayfield?
No. If I was going with Colton, we'd 100% hit the beach. I'm going with David.
David. Okay.
He's unlike most Norwegians. He's not a water guy. So I'm hoping to be able to skedaddle over to the beach, because Florida beaches, man, the water is so nice. We'll see if it happens. It's most likely going to be a lot of meetings in cigar rooms and things like that, which, again, I'm not complaining about that. There's no complaints here.
Yeah.
Definitely looking forward to the trip. I hope it's going to be good. I'm not looking forward to flying, and I'm not looking forward to the heat, because what is it in Florida right now?
It's got to be
weather.
A's.
Where are we going? Let's say Fort Lauderdale, Florida. What is it right now? All right, it's 79.
Not bad.
Not horrible. humidity is 90%.
That's going to hit you. That is going to hit you
so,
like a wet napkin right in the face.
79 feels like 103 in a sauna. Yep, so yep. That I'm not looking forward to. But hopefully everywhere we go has air conditioning, because this P&W guy does not do humidity. I don't know.
I don't do it. I don't like it either.
No, not worth it. Not worth it. Well, Jack, we've got cool stuff to talk about today, but it is time for everyone's favorite segment. Don't forget to eat your Instagrams.
And now's the time you've all been waiting for. The Reformatory Podcast presents Don't Forget to Eat Your Instagrams with your hosts, Josh Loftus and Jack Berry. And remember, kids, it's not heresy if you believe it hard enough.
This is Don't Forget to Eat Your Instagrams. And remember, kids, it's not heresy if you believe it hard enough. That's how it works. I really like our intro. Every time I hear it, it gets me all happy. I like the old timey radio. It's awesome.
The old timey grifting.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Takes me back to simpler times, Jack. Simpler times, just like our first clip back in the early 2000s. At least that's where I'm assuming this clip came from, based on the camera quality. Back when we were united as a reformed front against what would be known as the emergent church movement. Back when we weren't dealing with Twitter debates, back when we weren't dealing with drama, we were united on taking on the seeker sensitive movement. And Jack, this is about as seeker sensitive as it gets. Let me introduce you to trying to stay relevant. Youth ministry. And again, listeners, let me know how long you make it through the clip before you hit the skip button.
I'm bringing Jesus back. Yep. These atheists don't know how to act. Yep. I think Satan better watch his back. Yep. So just keep praising him and don't you slack. Yep. Take him to the cross. The Bible babe. Oh, you see these verses, that's how I got saved. The Holy Ghost is what I crack.
All right, that's enough of that.
Wow. Unbelievable.
I swear, like, this segment never ceases to amaze me and never ceases to cause me to ask the question, how did this make it past, like, the idea round table, right? Like, the pastors are getting together, you know, maybe with their you know, outreach team.
The same way, like, you know, that what we need? Fast 10 makes it to the screen in the movie theater, Josh.
You know what we need? We need
another Vin Diesel movie with him jumping out of an airplane in a Chevrolet.
We need a couple 16-year-old girls doing a horrible hip-hop cover for our church. Timberlake. That's what we need. Justin Timberlake. That's the ticket. That's going to bring them in.
That's what will win them over.
That's what's going to win them over. That's going to win them over. Well, Jack, if you thought that was bad.
Oh, gosh. Here we go.
I would have you. Well, I know you have. When you get into, certain, I will say, denominational circles,
mm-hmm.
right? The worship on the Lord's Day looks very different.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And what I have here is someone who has an account where what they do is they train people. They make tutorials for those that are feeling led to express their worship through flags.
Oh, no.
Here's a 1-minute tutorial to help you know how to use worship flags and be confident with worship flagging movements. These are perfect worship flag moves for beginners. Please like.
Perfect worship flag moves for beginners. I'm glad, though.
I feel like I'm in a flag class right now.
When it comes to flag worship, Jack, I am indeed a beginner. I'm very much a beginner. Please teach me. And this person's account is Catch the Fire Worship Flags.
My gosh.
Now, they might catch some fire. I don't know if it's the fire that they think they want to catch. I'm sorry. That's literally a little too far. Let's continue. Let's allow this person to help us out here. Help us out.
Please like and follow. I'm Andrea York with Catch the Fire Worship Flags, and this flagging movement tutorial is called Ascending and Descending. It looks as if it should be straightforward, and yet it's a movement that actually proves quite tricky. I'll demonstrate from the side view. The starting position is both arms are extended in front of your body. One arm is above your head, and the other arm is downward below your waist. Next, alternate your arms, keeping a straight line in front of your body. From first glance, it appears as if you are simply pumping your arms up and down.
That is exactly what it looks like.
Yeah.
You 100%, that's what it looks like. That's what you're doing.
Why do we need a tutorial on this again?
Well, my question, too, is like, why is she talking so fast? She's talking so fast. Like, if I at all actually had some interest in flag worship, right? Like, thinking of, you know, I'm thinking of just bringing some light flag worship into Redeemer Reformed Baptist Church, right? Just to kind of test the waters, see what it would be. You know, I'm definitely looking for tutorials because I've never done flag worship before. But this lady, I feel like she's going so fast. I'm going to have to watch this 2 or 3 times. Let's finish up with a tutorial here.
But doing that will cause the material to get bunched up and you'll run into a problem with tangled fabric. Instead, make a very elongated figure eights, turning your wrist very slightly at the top and the bottom. On the way up, the back of your hand is moving toward the sky, and on the way down, back of your hand is moving toward the ground. Okay. Please check out our other flagging movement tutorials for movements to help you elevate your praise to the next level.
Elevate your praise to the next level. What are you talking about, woman?
With flags.
I'll get some flags in there.
I'm convinced.
We'll have a guy with a stop sign who just flips it to slow and stop. Yeah. Okay.
To use a Generation Z phrase that I think is apropos to this entire thing to me is a red flag. It's a red flag, Jack. This is not a green flag. This is a red flag. Mm-hmm. But hey, you know, y'all, if you're looking to elevate your worship game, and you thought, you know what I've been missing in the local church? I've been missing flags, man. I've been missing flags. This lady's got you covered, dude. She's got all you need. She's got all the tutorials, so. Shout out to the flag lady. Jack, my man, it's time to get serious. Time to actually get to the business of the day. And as much as we enjoy poking fun at some of the weird local church stuff, this is a podcast in which we try to be edifying. And sometimes we succeed, and sometimes, you know, I don't know.
If you didn't get that from the jump.
I don't know. Sometimes I hit stop on the recording, and I just think, you know what? That wasn't it. That's not going to do nothing. But, hey, we soldier on, just like this lady's doing with her flags, right? Soldier on. Jack, my man, we're talking about something that's very near and dear to my heart today. Mm. We're talking about the importance of having a love and a care and an intentional focus upon the young adults in the local church. Mm-hmm. Now, I think there's, you know, by and large, a lot of focus placed on, you know, men's and women's ministry, things like that, which is as it should be. Wonderful, right? This is not we're not elevating one ministry or focus or demographic over the other in this episode. But what we are saying is something that I have found, especially within kind of the Reformed movement, is I think there is such an emphasis placed on equipping, you know, the men of the church, which is, again, a good thing, and a much emphasis placed on the family and family worship, right? Those are things that Reformedom really, really loves and values, as we should. Very good things, very biblical things to do. But one demographic that I have found by and large gets overlooked within a lot of churches that would you know, be more kind of on the Reformed side,
yeah,
is that of the young adult. Mm-hmm. It's the single people that are in the local church that are too old for, you know, a traditional youth group or youth ministry, which is another big debate within Reformed churches, yeah. But that's not what this one's about. But aren't in the stage of life yet where they're a father or they're a mom or they're married, right? So you get this group of people in your local churches that are kind of right in the middle, and they're kind of a forgotten demographic, a forgotten generation, if you will, within the local church, that by and large have a difficult time plugging into the local church, finding their place in the local church, because the local church has in many cases kind of forgotten them. Right. Now, again, we're not saying that it's the local church's job to provide, you know, avenues for every single demographic within the local church. We understand that that's not realistic. Depending on what the demographic of your church is, you know, the Lord is calling you to focus on the things that you can focus on. And sometimes, like, that's all you can do. Right. And we do confess from the start. Right. We're not. This does not negate personal responsibility. Mm-hmm. If you're a Christian and you're in a local church, like, it is your responsibility to press in, to find those opportunities, to seek to know the community and to be known, right?
Yeah.
We understand that's true.
Yeah.
However, it's not a bad thing for the local church to see and understand, hey, we've got, you know, a demographic in our church that by and large has a difficult time plugging in because of the stage of life that they're in. Mm-hmm. And it's important that we are intentional in seeking relationships with these individuals. Right.
Yeah.
And I think, Jack, before I throw it over to you, just as this, as a concept, I think this goes much deeper than simply having a programmatic solution to the issue.
Yeah.
Right. I think having a young adult ministry, I think that can be great and that can be really good. But just as with any ministry, I don't think you can just view the program as the end all be all fix it to the issue that we're seeing here. So, Jack, I want to throw it over to you. This concept of young adults ministry. I mean, I'm sure you guys have this demographic in your mm-hmm. church as well. Would love to hear kind of your thoughts on this as we dive into it.
Yeah, we actually have more of a, I wouldn't say a program, but we started a young adults group as well within the last couple of years, and that's seen more ways to minister to, you know, people in their, you know, late teens, 20s, maybe early 30s, single, maybe not married, or sure, trying to kind of navigate those waters.
Yeah.
Different than youth. I would say that internationally, youth is considered like past. Like, youth, I've been to places, I've been to countries where they say that youth ministry is like people who aren't married still.
Yeah,
It's I think it's a little bit different internationally, but more young adults. It's an interesting time. I was telling Josh about this. One of my pastors quoted a stat recently that in the UK right now, men between the ages of 18 to 30 are going back to church at either a quadruple or quintuple level.
Yeah.
Than years before, like 4 to 5 times more likely to go to church than ever before.
Right.
In the last, you know, have to be the last like 25 years. So record number of younger men are starting to go back to church. And with that as well, too, it's the same for Gen Z here in the United States, where a lot more younger people are coming to church, are exploring what it means to be a Christian, are looking into the faith. And this was actually a good kind of segue as well into how do we meet those people that are looking and seeking?
Yeah.
And one of my pastors really focused on one of our values of our church, which is the gospel, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Our three values are gospel, community, mission. That's about it. Pretty simple. And in a three, which makes a lot of sense. Very Trinitarian. But that verse in Matthew chapter 11, where Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I think that is true of a lot of different generations. And this generation is hearing those words of Jesus.
Yeah.
And they are heavy. They are labored and are heavy laden because of, I think, the landscape that they see in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
Digital landscape of more advancing AI technology, landscape in more of a way in which you could say values are starting to creep in into different. It's just so crazy to think. I saw a video the other day of a Lutheran church just straight up, like, not even. It's from a guy actually on Instagram who I think was living as a woman, and now he really wants Jesus and really wants to pursue the Lord now.
Yeah.
And he's going on these different tours of different churches. I don't know if you've seen him on Instagram before or not.
That sounds familiar. I think one of those might have come across.
He went to a Lutheran church, which was a part of the ELCA, which is one of the most liberal denominations of Lutherans in the United States.
Okay.
And he was just like, there was no mention of Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, there was, like, it was all social justice. And this is not a person who's, like, who's out there saying different, like, culture warrior things. Like, this is a person who has gone through something. And as far as, like, more siding with trying to become a woman and then actually repenting and going back towards, no, my God-given, you know, sex and gender is male. So I am going to go back there. And it's because of my faith in Christ that I'm going back to what God made me in the beginning. Right. So it's just so crazy because people are wearing, like, gay pride flags straight across their shirts and, like, literally inviting this guy to go with them to a gay pride parade after church. I'm like, what? And he's like, I don't know what that was. Yeah. I don't know what that was.
It wasn't a church.
Yeah, it wasn't a church. But it was so... Yeah. I think that kind of experience, and I think some other videos that I'm seeing, I think Gen Z is starting to see what we like to call the doctrinal distinctive and the cultural distinctive.
Mm. Yeah.
So the gospel, I think, that Gen Z is wanting, that a lot of authors talk about this too, is that if you are not preaching the gospel doctrinally and living that out in your church culturally, there is a breakdown of your understanding of that.
Sure.
And that's what literally my pastor was talking about even yesterday in that too, is that we can't be going around calling and saying we got to believe the gospel. We got to believe the gospel. And we really don't even show up and live in a way in which we're providing that gospel refuge to each other and loving each other correctly in that way as well too.
Yeah.
So I think Gen Z is starting to see the breakdown that's happened over the last years in maybe even our generation. Sometimes I can't even see it. I know the 90s generation of the Gen Xers, I think they're messed up. I think they got messed up with a lot of different ways in which church was given to them and communicated to them.
Sure.
I think millennials are kind of trying to figure out, how do we not screw up what that last generation went through and actually go back to the sources of what we should be going back to, which is a more discipleship way of helping young adults and in their journey in the Christian faith.
Yeah.
And I think Gen Z is now starting to realize, yeah, I think we need something better than those, I don't know, I wouldn't say fundamentalist ways, but some of them are fundy in a sense, or just really hokey, corny ways of trying to get people in the church.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're getting hit with both, right? They're getting hit with extreme fundamentalism.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Or the other side, like that individual you talked about found at that Lutheran church, right? just extreme liberalism that's coming from a hatred of God and a hatred of God's word. And I think what people, by and large, I think what the older and look, this is probably par for the course, right? And that this probably happens in every generation. Is I don't know if the older generation truly understands, by and large, the things that the young adults of our day and age are having to deal with, right? Mm. Now, obviously, there's nothing new under the sun. There's no new sins. There's just old heresies, right? Yeah. But it is a reality that what seems to be true is that the longer that we are on this earth, the farther away we're coming from the word of God and the standard of truth, and the sins that were once, you know, still present and still manifesting themselves, but they're so much more obvious and they're becoming more blatant, right?
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, back in the day, back in like my parents' generation, right, the things that they were dealing with culturally are not the same things that we are dealing with culturally, right?
Yeah.
Now, again, the root of it is the same, right? Mm-hmm. It's the sin nature, right? That's still the same, but how it's manifesting itself, how it's describing itself, how it's working itself out in the culture is so much more blatant today than it was back then, right? And I even think like, I will talk to our young adults because, you know, my wife and I run the young adult ministry in our church, right?
Yeah.
And I love it. It's so much fun. But sitting down talking to these young adults that come to us and say, hey, can I get your advice on this? Can I get your advice on this? The things that they are having to deal with in their time and place in culture are heads and tails worse than what I was dealing with when I was in high school.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
When I was in high school, the worst things that I was having to deal with were, you know, making sure, you know, not sleeping with your girlfriend, not smoking weed, right? not drinking on, you know, on the weekends or, you know, racing your cars, things like that, which honestly, Jack, like, again, all still sin, all still things that we need to deal with compared to what these young adults are bringing to my living room, saying that they are trying to figure out how to navigate. Like it's heads and tails. It seems like Sesame Street hour, man. Like I got young adults coming to my living room saying, "Hey, my friend, deconstructed. What's some advice about that?"
Yeah.
Hey, I've got a friend who's transitioning and they're contemplating, you know, surgery, you know, top and bottom surgery. How do I navigate that? And I'm like, oh my goodness gracious.
Yeah.
The things that you were having to deal with as an 18, 20, 21, 22 year old.
I never dealt with that.
Dude, I never did.
And I was an unbeliever too. And going into college, I never dealt with that
exactly.
really.
Exactly. And again, right? Like the players change, but the war doesn't. We understand that. We're not saying that we are unequipped to handle these things. What we are saying is that the need for discipleship within the local church for these young adults is more important today than it ever has been, because they are coming up against not just, you know, the things that you and I dealt with in high school where, we still obviously gotta you know, apply a biblical worldview to that. And the scripture is still the standard. But dude, like, how do I navigate this friend making a life-altering decision?
Complete
saying, if you
change.
Love me, you'll accept me.
Yeah, yeah,
bro. These young adults are going through the ringer, right? And then, like, here's a whole other thing: relationships, trying to find a spouse. Yeah. I can't imagine dating in 2025 today. It is a nightmare for so many of these young adults.
Yeah.
Right. And I say it tongue in cheek. Right. But I use the humorous point to get the humorous tone to get the point across. Back in my day, again, I sound like such an old man, but the things that I was trying to figure out is like, okay, obviously she's a believer, right? Do we line up on all these things? Do we line up on this theological thing, this theological thing, this theological thing?
people today are just trying to figure out if you're like a man or not. Like, are you actually a woman? Because I can't tell. Like, dude, we're starting at a different level here.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The need for discipleship in the local church for these young adults is so much more important than it ever has been. And we cannot afford to just let these young adults that are coming into our churches, like you're saying, coming in with this interest, with this curiosity, like what is this? What is this church stuff? What is this old truths that they're talking about? Because I'm sick of the Facebook and the Instagram reels and the TikTok lifestyle where it's just me gratification. I'm looking for something deeper. And we don't give them anything.
Well, yeah. And on top of it, too, like so many people who are on social media, the sociables right now.
Yeah.
I think I sent you like a couple videos the other day. This guy was like saying, well, I would say I'm still a Christian man, but I don't go to church.
I saw that. Yeah.
And
I'm not part of any organized religion.
Yeah.
And by the way, what I mean by that is I'm not accountable to any local church whatsoever. And I define what Christianity means to me. Whenever you hear that, that's what that means.
Okay. Okay, Arius. Congratulations.
Yeah. Congratulations. You are following in the footsteps of many heretics before you. Well done.
I mean, just that even of itself, when people say stuff like that, I'm sure there's young adults that get posed with that all the time and people that they meet. Well, I'm a Christian.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, what does that mean to you? Like,
right.
Do you go to, are you part of a local church or not? And I think Gen Z is starting to get wise to this. And like I said, that doctrinal and cultural breakdown that we've seen so much of in churches and the breakdown in churches. And even now on social media where your doctrine is not actually lining up culturally.
Yeah.
Not only in your faith, but also in how your church is set up as well, too. Mm-hmm. So I think Gen Z is starting to get wise to that, and they're starting to ask more questions. And I think that's good, actually, because I think for the longest time, I wanted people to ask more questions. I wanted more younger people to ask more questions. Mm-hmm. And now it seems like it's a no holds barred, like the gloves are off in a sense, which I like, which is good. Yeah. But yeah, just even the starting block problems that these folks are going through are completely different than, I mean, I was dating my wife who we got married in 2020. Sure, we were dating through the majority of 2020.
Yeah.
So we dated from endish of 2019, right around fall time. So right around this time, all the way up until when we got married in December 2020. And I will say that is a completely different time frame. Everybody was kind of in their own, like, kind of little circle.
Yeah.
Not branching out. We weren't doing a lot of social life, you know, social stuff. Yeah. We were kind of sticking to a certain group of people so we wouldn't get sick and stuff like that.
Right.
And that is a different mentality than what we have now again, where it's just like full tilt. Hey, everything's back to normal.
Right.
Here we go.
Right. Well, and both of you were like, both of you had already lived some life.
Yeah.
True. Right. Right. Yeah. Right. Like you guys weren't fresh going into this. Right.
Yeah.
Like you both have had a lot of life experience. Right. Mm-hmm. You guys got together a little later than the traditional, like, you know, but now imagine you're in 2020 trying to date somebody and it's 19 year old Jack.
Yeah.
With the life experience that you have, right? I can't imagine, dude.
If I was a new believer, it would have threw me for a loop for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And what's crazy is by and large in so much of the conversations I have with the young folks at Redeemer, they have such a hunger for the truth.
Mm-hmm.
They have a desire to know God more. And by and large, the vast majority of them have said to me in one instance or another, I've never had a I've never had a situation in a local church where I was friends with one of my pastors, mm-hmm. and that my pastors actually took personal time to disciple me through these things.
Yeah.
I've never had that.
Oh yeah.
That's something that's brand new to me.
Yeah.
And there's the problem, mm-hmm. right? It's not that Lauren and I are doing this amazing, crazy, awesome work. It's not that Redeemer is this super special church, although I think it's very special. I love our people.
My church often says we're not KFC. We don't do chicken right.
exactly, right? But here's the problem, is the local church in America, mm-hmm. by and large, has a discipleship deficiency.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And we don't take discipleship seriously like we should. And in the context in which these young adults are living their lives, right, spreading their wings, coming into their own, looking for relationships, if they do not have the foundation of what is the gospel, what is true, mm-hmm. what place should the word of God take in our lives,
yeah.
if they don't have that foundation, this world is going to eat them up.
Oh, yeah.
And it's going to spit them out. Mm-hmm. And like the whole deconstruction movement is just a testament to not strictly the church's, like, you know, the people's trauma from church, although that was definitely part of it. But it's, in my opinion, a testament to the lack of discipleship that the church should be having in the lives of our people.
Well, on top of it too, like the whole deconstruction movement, I think it's deconstructing a faith that is by and large filtered through the lens of fundamentalism.
Yeah. Or culturalism.
Sure. I think most of the people that most of the people that have deconstructed their faith were in a church in the United States that we saw that had some sort of fundamentalist background.
Yeah.
And when they didn't tie themselves to historicity of the church, mm-hmm. to show that, hey, what we're talking about, all these guys have talked about before us. You want to go back? You want to go back to the beginning of the church?
Yeah.
Do you want to go back to the apostolic era of the church or continue that? I think that's what saved me, honestly, because I wouldn't say I had a crisis of faith. I would say the fact that leaders did not tie doctrine and culture. There is a doctrine side of the gospel and there is a culture side to the gospel as well. When those two aren't tied together in a church, that's when breakdowns start happening, where people start saying, well, I'm deconstructing, because they're not seeing the gospel being lived out amongst the church. Because their leaders aren't displaying it.
Orthodoxy, orthopraxy. You have to live out your doctrine.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you have to.
So, yeah, I think part of it is because it's not the whole kit and caboodle. I think what you're saying, the discipleship element to it, but also the fact that some people who say that they deconstructed, honestly, their deconstruction is from a faith background that has some really wonky stuff to begin with anyways. So,
well, yeah, I mean, here's the thing, right? Like, let's go back to the parable. The wise man built his house on the rock. The foolish man built it on the sand.
Yeah.
And when the foolish man built on the sand, when he was faced with the hardships of life, when he was faced with crisis of faith, when he was faced with people that sinned against him, whatever these winds and waves and rains that come crashing against his house of faith, deconstruction, destruction is what happens, because your foundation is faulty. Mm-hmm. It's not based on anything that's true, not based on anything that's solid. It's based on man's opinions, or it's your own morality or cultural definition, whatever it may be. It's not the truth of the word of God. It's not the gospel. And the young adults of today's age, their house of faith is getting smacked upside the head with so much junk. Mm-hmm. They need a foundation. They need to know, what does the word of God say about this? What does it say about this? And why should I care, right? Baseline stuff. The Word of God is our authority. It's what we go to. It's what dictates our practice, mm-hmm. right? We need this in the local church, and we need faithful men and women that are willing to come alongside our young adults and walk with them and say, hey, I want to meet with you. I want to be in a brother sister relationship with you.
Yeah.
Right. This is what we need, because like I said, by and large, in my experience, they want that. They want real relationships. They don't want the fake stuff that comes from social media. And us, you know, Gen X and us millennials, I think got to get our heads out of our rear ends a little bit.
Oh yeah.
And start seeing that. And you got to start as again, millennial, like it's going to be our job to get uncomfortable and be okay with reaching out and get out of your own head, get out of your own bubble that we love to put ourselves in and start coming alongside these guys and these gals, because they need people. They need discipleship so that they can do it with the next generation. Like, this is how the church is built, right? Right? This is what Paul encourages Timothy in 2 Timothy, I think it's chapter 3, where he's like, you know, these truths that you have known since infancy. Like, you were raised in these things. And because you have the foundation, then go and do this. Preach this. Don't do this, right?
Yeah.
So, Jack, like, our young adults are hungry, man, and they need people around them, and we need to do a better job as the church of fostering that culture of discipleship.
Yeah, when we were finishing up Pastors and Leaders Institute at my local church, our pastoral staff our plurality of elders said, hey, one of our pastors said, hey, you know, there's a famous quote by a guy who starred the Navigators. I don't know if you know what the Navigators are. It kind of started mostly in the military. It's kind of more based around that, where it's Bible study and discipleship, mostly around kind of military bases and stuff like that. But the founder of the Navigators, his name was Dawson Trotman, said, give me a man. Which he was basically saying, give me a man to disciple.
Yeah.
Like, that should be, if you are a Christian man and you're not discipling somebody, give me a man. Like, that should be in your head, chewing you up, because somebody is out there who is clueless,
sure,
to say the least. Somebody who is not equipped sometimes to take on all of life's facets and ups and downs, and they need somebody to come alongside them to disciple them in order to say, hey, this historically is how it's always been. Or, you know, hey, you know, the gospel is more than this.
Yeah.
Or the gospel is not just something that we do in church.
Yeah.
The gospel is something that you live out every single day. You don't graduate. Something that I always say too, which others say, you don't graduate from the gospel.
Right.
The gospel has to be central to your person as a believer in Jesus. And so, it was just, I think that's what we need to kind of start looking at is, where can I help out? Mm-hmm. Where can I be a true partner in the Lord Jesus to help somebody who's coming into our local church to not necessarily be the master or the teacher, but in a way to say, hey, I've been following Jesus for 20 years. Actually, next year for me, it'll be 20 years.
Yeah.
It's like, I think I've seen a thing or two.
Yeah.
And I know that you can speak into my life as well too in this, but hey, let's go on this journey to keep in step with the Spirit in this certain way.
Yeah.
And it's just as easy as, you know, meeting it could be meeting every week, meeting every other week. It could be very informal. It could be very formal. You guys can do read a smaller book, a bigger book. Mm-hmm. I basically have asked a guy recently, it's like, hey, do you want to start reading the Nine Marks book, The Gospel, which talks about this divide between doctrine and the doctrinal distinctives of the gospel and the cultural distinctives of the gospel and how there shouldn't be a gap between that.
Right.
And very receptive to that.
Yeah.
Because he got baptized last Easter, has been in a family that has kind of been spiritually agnostic a little bit, but leans more towards Christianity, but doesn't really care about what denomination that is or even what doctrinal distinctives you hold to.
Okay.
So yeah, there's stuff like that that people need help with because doctrine matters. Theology matters. A lot of things matter in the Christian faith. Yeah. And if you don't have people who have seen a thing or two, and are at least, you know, holding the lamp while you're behind them in the cave, right, it's going to be a rough go. So, yeah.
Well, and they need to know, and I'll wrap up with this. If they are going to hold fast to the word of God, as they should, this culture is going to be against them.
Mm-hmm.
Their friends are going to abandon them. This culture will be angry at them. They will be reviled. They will be discouraged. They'll be made fun of. They'll be ostracized, because that's what this culture does to those that are in Christ. That's what Christ told us to expect.
Yeah.
They need to know they have a place that's safe to come back to, where there is relationships and there are people that love them. Mm-hmm. Because it's very discouraging as a young adult taking a stand for the word of God, losing the vast majority of your friends, and then being alone.
Yeah.
That doesn't have to be the way that it is.
Yeah.
The church needs to come alongside these men and women that are, you know, testing out their faith for the first time. They're going to get punched in the face real hard. They need to know that they have safety, security, relationships in this local church with people that are not going to abandon them, that love them, that care about them, and are committed to them.
Yeah,
because they're not going to get that in the world. We desperately need it.
Yep.
So churches, love your young adults, come alongside them. Whether that is, you know, creating a young adult ministry or simply just like I said, let the membership have this desire to come alongside, right? Every Paul needs a Timothy. Every Timothy needs a Paul, and have that culture of discipleship in the local church. That's really what makes the difference.
Yeah.
So that's what we need. Jack, my dude, what we need to do right now is close this episode because we have Patreon episodes to get to.
Yeah.
I've actually got some young adults coming over tonight that I am going to be talking to. So yeah. I have to prep for that.
Yeah. If you appreciate Josh and I's focus of the local church in the believer's life here on the Reformatory, you can follow us on the sociables, if you will. Drop us a comment, like, question, concern, episode idea, whatever you may have. We're kind of in this limbo period before we start our Baptist distinctives series. And so we're kind of like, you know, figuring things out and taking our time before we start launching that. So if you have any episode ideas or something that you haven't heard lately, let us know.
Send us questions. We're going to do a mailbag episode.
Oh, yeah.
We already have a good amount.
Mailbag.
But if you have any that you want to throw in there.
But yeah, like I said, you can follow us on the Facebook, the Metaverse, if you will, the Instagram. Mm-hmm. It goes well with segments and chocolate marshmallow. Right. Or you can follow us on the Sociable, formerly known as Twitter X, if you will. And all of our tags on those Sociable platforms are at the tag at Reformatory Pod. Josh, you can tell the lovely people how they might support us further here at the Reformatory in our endeavors.
That's right. If you want to watch this episode as well as listen to it, head on over to YouTube. We're on there and you can see all of the shenanigans that we get up to on this podcast. Like, comment, subscribe, hit the little bell for notifications, as the kids say. We'd appreciate that. If you are on Apple or Spotify, if you scroll down, you can rate this podcast and review this podcast. And we ask that you do. Maybe you're a longtime listener, but a zero-time reviewer. We would really appreciate it. It helps get the podcast out to more people and also puts us in some really good recommendations kind of at the bottom for other podcasts for people to find. If they enjoy the cut of our jib, maybe they'll enjoy some other great podcasts as well. Last but not least, we have a Patreon for $5 a month, a $5 holla. That's less than a pumpkin spice latte these days. I got my wife a pumpkin spice latte. It was a 12-ounce, and it was over $6.
Tall black coffees run for about $2 to $3 lately at Starbucks.
Just saying, folks. So if you feel as if, you know, in your heart, you can spare yourself one pumpkin spice latte a month, you could head on over to the Reformatory, and for $5, you could get this episode free. It's free for everyone. Early is what I mean. You can get this episode early before everyone else. Get ahead of the game. You also get multiple bonus episodes. You have exclusive contact with funny things that Jack and I will put in there. And we have a Patreon Live now. We can do live video in the Patreon app. Oh, we've been messing around with that. It has been a lot of fun.
Done you can messed get, up, A-A-Ron.
Oh, dude, bunch of exclusive stuff over on the Patreon for $5 a month. If you choose to do that, our pledge to you is that your name shall be Halloween.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. That is our pledge to you. We thank you all for listening, and we will catch you on the next step of the Reformatory.